The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Do I count on it? Very good. It's Sunday once again. You're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio. This is Mark Kent. I'm your host. It's May 15th. I put the wrong date in because I did this last night. I put in the 14th. I forgot. As time goes on, it changes. And so today is May 15th. My name is Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio. And I'm here in the great state of Jefferson without my sister Linda, who's on assignment. And but I have the kid that rocks around the clock.
Wow.
The kid that rocks around the clock. Boy, that faster than a speeding internet connection. Yeah, that's one you don't want to get tongue tied on. Wow. Okay. Faster than a speeding internet bullet, more powerful than a high speed download, 10th degree black belt and rubs. Cyber Dave Johnson.
Good morning.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. And the guardian of the magic button of silence, the librarian above every time banner breaks, keyboard weaponry specialist, producer extraordinaire, Travis. And we have some special guest holdovers today. I don't know if I like that term holdover. It sounds kind of different. But we have Katie Gorman.
Hello.
In the studio with us, and we're holding her over. And Brian Caples, who obviously Katie's a teacher and she's a woman, and obviously Brian is running for the Shasta County Superintendent of Schools, and he's a man.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. I'll get started here sooner or later.
We're just going to let you do your thing.
I'm just hanging myself over here in a very variety of ways. But anyway, wow. I wanted you guys to stay over because I was listening on the way in, and I'll tell you what, there's a couple of things that just got my freaking blood up. I almost called in. All right. One is this new law, and I didn't get the number because I was driving and I didn't want to swerve. This new law about the 12-year-olds can now get, is this 12 and under? What's the age group that can get shots without?
12 and older, and they can, the law is going through. That children 12 and older can consent to get a vaccine without their parents' consent.
So this is already passed?
I believe so, yes. It's through committee. I believe a vote has been made on
it. So this. Maybe all we need is a Governor Mussolini to sign it into law, I think, maybe.
Yeah, it's pretty much to the point where it's, yeah.
Okay.
It's
you need both houses stages. And then the governor to... To sign off on.
And then, you know, I was listening, well, why would they do this? I know why. I'm kind of a rhetorical question, I think. But what do you guys think?
I think it's horrendous, to be honest with you. I think it has no business in
it. Well, I brought it up.
But why? Why would they do it?
Yeah, so what I brought it up because, you know, parents were up in arms about their children not being able to go to school without being vaccinated. They do not want their children vaccinated against COVID-19. And they started thinking of infrastructures to pull their kids out of school.
Right.
Now, the kids themselves were, my daughter was one of them. She was beside herself. She was mad at me.
Right.
She wanted her friends, and she didn't care what it took to get that. She would get the vaccine on her own. Now, she's 15 at the time. She would have, if she had the opportunity, she would have done it.
This is, but the level of manipulation on a young person who hasn't got the capacity at that point, 12 or up. I mean, I know kids that are 25 that still haven't got the capacity to think for themselves. But they're swayed by emotions. They're swayed by things like their friends.
Yeah.
Peer pressure.
I won't be able to go to school, sports like you talked about. And that shows you, to me, the depth of how evil these freaking people are.
Well, that alongside with having vaccine clinics on our school campuses, I mean,
they're going to get the jab without you even knowing it, is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, and they're pitting families against each other in this instance here.
Divide and conquer.
It's divisiveness, and you've seen it play out over the last few years especially, and that's exactly what they're doing. They're going to pit a child against parent. That's the worst kind of divisiveness.
Right. Well, it's evil. I mean, and that's what I keep coming down to. I mean, there's no evil. Oh, yes, there is evil in the world, and we're seeing it on a pretty large scale across a lot of different planes. Whether it's the war in Europe, Ukraine is Europe, I guess. I'm assuming. I was thinking maybe it was Eurasia, but Europe. So there's that. You've got this abortion thing. I mean, we could go down a list of evil. I mean, how can you not be evil when you say I wouldn't, a baby's not a baby, even if it's out of the womb? And they've said this in Sacramento, that they were trying, some of the legislators down there were talking about passing a bill where they could kill a baby up to 2 months out of the womb.
Well, and I think not only is this wrong and not right in so many different levels, they're not even trying to fix the problems that we do have.
No.
Right?
No.
Homelessness, crime, our kids can't read and write. I spoke earlier on a show just a few minutes ago about the County Office of Education has a certain population of students that they serve. 5% of those kids are proficient in mathematics. Only about 17% of those kids are proficient in English language arts. We're spending so much time on all these social programs and social engineering, we're not teaching our children.
I think this is planned. I think this is done on purpose. I think from the top down. We also know, just for an example, that Mussolini is a student of Klaus Schwab's World Health Organization. Okay. Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It's not like it's speculation. It's been openly, admitted to. It's been openly shown, in their lists that he's a part of that. So is Trudeau, and there's a bunch of other ones. Okay. So at what point in time do you go, wait a minute? This is not, this is all for your own good. It's, it's always a Trojan horse coming in that, it's a gift. But it's never the gift that you think it is. It's always got all these other things that go with it, and all these other things that go with it are not for our benefit.
I'm sorry, kid.
Go ahead.
What it does is shows you how important these local elected positions are. What happened during the pandemic in education, right? It shows you exactly why you need strong leadership that would stand up to the state of California, the federal government, and simply say no.
Right.
The word no is in my vocabulary, and I know how to use it when it's for the betterment of our kids. It's the same thing with our other positions. You need a very, very strong sheriff.
Right.
When the state of California comes and says, well, we're going to shut everything down. You need a sheriff that's going to say no. You need a district attorney that's going to prosecute crime. You need to make sure that our elections are secure. Right. All of these positions are board of supervisors. You need people that are running the show that have the integrity and the wherewithal to fight for the people that elected them.
Right.
Not being a liaison of the state. Right. Not just do the state or the federal government's bidding.
Or the World Health Organization, for example. I mean, later on in the show, I'm going to talk about the vote on the $40 billion that they just decided to fund this week to the Ukraine war effort. And we're going to talk about our guy voted for it. so mad. I can't even tell you. And what's we'll go that later. You know, but I want to get back to the local races here. And so, what is Judy Flores done that has been for the benefit of the kids? I mean, it's all been about vaccines lately. She's been running unopposed for, 12, 13 years, something like that?
No, she only ran once unopposed. Before that, she was appointed.
Appointed by the Board of Supervisors.
By the Board of Education. County Board of Education.
By the County Board of Education.
Who is also a group of elected officials.
Oh, okay. So you learn something new every day.
Well, I think to answer that question, I don't know. Because I know that our math scores and our reading and writing scores aren't good. I know that there's issues in our schools with kids fighting and them needing. She often touts, this year we've had over 700 services or whatever the number is. Forgive me for not getting it right, but we've met the needs of counseling services for over 700 kids. Well, you're part of the reason why they need those services. If you didn't mask them and scare them to death over the last few years through this pandemic, they wouldn't need those services.
I think it's been proven through various studies that the masks obviously don't work for anything, but the people that wear them separate themselves from other people. It's a fear thing more than it is anything. If you're walking down the street and you're going in one direction and everybody going the other direction is wearing a mask, what does that tell you? If we know that they don't work as far as keeping the germs off of you, what message is that sending?
Virtue signaler.
Absolutely. It's sending a fear message. Be afraid of everyone. Don't talk to each other. Stay away from each other. Keep social distancing. Because they don't want us talking to each other. They don't want us, coming together on anything saying, wait a minute, what's going on here? Something's wrong.
Well, remember, I don't know if you remember Christmases and Thanksgivings of past few years. Them not even wanting you to be with your family on Thanksgiving or for Christmas. That's just, I don't even understand. That is so far beyond my realm of understanding of logic and how things work. I would rather just make my own decisions and be a free person than have the federal government or the state make my decisions.
Well, what happens is you get the elites, as we've noticed over the last couple of years, they don't wear their masks. And Mussolini down there at the French restaurant. Everybody else needs to wear a mask, but I'm better than that. You know, you've got the guy in L.A. You know, there's been so many at the World Series or what was it, the World Super Bowl or whatever it was. Everybody's not wearing a mask. You got them at the awards ceremonies for the Hollywood elite. Everybody's not wearing a mask except like the last picture I saw of Hillary Clinton. She's dressed up in her red dress or whatever, and all the people around her, surrounding her, are wearing a mask.
So back in November, Judy Flores held a meeting, a secret meeting, with superintendents and one board member from each school district. She invited them to come and speak. She wanted to speak to them about how important it was to continue on with the mandates after Tim Garmon and his school district voted to not do the testing of the teachers or the vaccine mandate for students. And she called everybody in, and she put together an agenda that also included an article talking about parents in a bad light, conservative parents who are against critical race theory and the fact that they were racist and that people needed to watch out for them because they were taking over our school districts. And during that meeting, we had a protest. We brought our shoes to show her all of the parents and teachers that would walk out of the school if they went forward with the vaccine mandate for students. We were able to get pictures of them inside that building while they're talking about masking our children and sticking to those mandates. They themselves were not wearing masks. So that's happening in our county.
Yeah, it's rules for me, rules for thee and not for me.
It's the exact same you talked about. The political elite know better than we do. When I was in school, I can remember as a young man reading about World War. My grandfather fought in World War II, and I can remember one of the most important things that I realized when learning about World War II in school was that right after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, the emperor said, I believe we've made a mistake, and that what we've done is just awaken a sleeping giant.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, I'd like to think Judy Flores for awaking the sleeping giant. And that sleeping giant is the mothers of this community yeah. that are upset that their children are not getting what they need.
Well, here's another log for the fire. Okay, this came out last week. Over a 10-year period, the National Institute of Health, the NIH agency, scientists and executives, such as Dr. Anthony Fauci, received a total of $350 million in royalty payments from a third party. I don't know, like a pharmaceutical company? Wasn't he the guy running everything, telling everybody else what to do? We had to follow the science. Maybe we should have been following the money.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's always the old bait and switch, right? It's always look over here. You know, if you look at the right hand, you don't know what the left hand's doing. I don't even know what to say. The good thing, I said it an hour ago on the show that we were just on, is the good thing about COVID in education is that it did give parents and community members a view of exactly what's going on in your right. schools across the country, not just in Shasta County.
And the world. And the world Absolutely. In a lot of countries. Have you seen, I showed some videos, in fact, I think that's coming out today on my podcast, of the videos in China. They got zero COVID policy. Okay, and they're talking about bringing this all back. I don't think it's going to work in America. America's waking up. We've had
not
enough
Shasta
of this.
County,
yeah,
for sure.
We had enough of this crap. All right. But when they have zero COVID policy, what does that mean? That means that you can't have a speck of the virus in your DNA that doesn't hurt anybody or anything. It could be dead. All right. And they've got them in lockdowns. And I've got videos of guys walking in the street, completely distraught, yelling into his phone, talking about how, what's he going to eat? How's he going to go anywhere? He can't get to the grocery store. I'm just saying, we are right now, you know, the only country that has a COVID policy closer to California? China. Wow. I mean, if that doesn't bother you, I don't know what to say.
Well, Judy Flores is going around talking about how people need to be thankful to her for opening up schools. Well, no, that is not what happened. That was the parents, the teachers, getting together and working very hard to protest, call in, bug her, do whatever we could, and she finally had to cave. She went from saying 6 feet to 3 feet and then 3 feet when possible. And because of her policies, our kids were not allowed to be on a carpet to get reading time. They weren't allowed to play with toys, manipulatives. Those are so vital at the age that I teach five-year-olds. Right. It was a travesty. And not only that, but I thought you were actually going to bring up when you started there the uptick in the number of speech and language delays that we have right now in our schools.
Right.
And that is something that even the NIH and National they have had to admit to, because it is so much to where our kids are having to be triaged in order. The younger ones aren't getting the services, and the younger you get them, the better. But yet we're having to triage and make these decisions. Our speech and language pathologists are not okay right now.
Right.
They're very upset. They're very distraught, and their caseloads are ridiculously
overrun. What it comes down to is, do they actually care about us? I mean, the people that are implementing these things, they say they care about us. They'll tell us all day long that it is for our own good. They'll say all day long they're honest and as the day is long and this is about everybody. At the end of the day, what do these policies do? Do they help us or hurt us?
I think what they're interested in is social engineering.
Yes.
They're not interested in the betterment of our society or the furtherment of what we do as a country and as a nation. And the greatest nation in the history of mankind, the most productive, you name it. I could go on for hours. We don't have enough time for me to talk about the things that our countries have done.
Started, by the way, on a revolt against its own government because of oppression.
Well, they're about ready to see the second one.
Yeah, but silence is violence.
Sure.
Wait a minute. No, silence is not violence. You know, I mean, these guys twist everything around to stupidity, whereas that this is what they want. They want dumb, compliant people that will be controlled, and they want to start on your children and work their way up.
Right, you're just a couple generations away. One of the things that's really bothered me is that to see what has happened, and especially on our county level, where kids were not only brought back, like they were, they said they were brought back to full-time classroom learning, but all of our kids that if I was too close to Katie and she might have had the virus, now I'm out of school for 10 days. Now I can't practice football for 10 days. Now right. I can't be with my friends for 10 days. Some of these kids had that happen multiple times. One of the things that no one ever wants to address or talk about.
They weren't even sick about half it.
Very rarely were they.
Right.
I don't think there was one child that died in Shasta County. I mean, so what we don't talk about is the loss of learning.
Right.
Right. There was a tremendous amount of learning loss over the last couple of years. I'm afraid that they're not going to be able to make that up. You can't just throw money at it and expect these kids to learn and make up that learning.
Let me tell you my story, which is exactly the opposite of what you just said. And the reason it's exactly the opposite of what you just said is that this event became probably the best learning experience for my kids. How do I explain that? Because I pulled them out of school and paid for someone else to teach them, and now I'm much more involved in their education. I'm seeing what they're being taught. I'm not just blindly going along with the school system and doing whatever they say. And so my kids are actually thriving at this point, as opposed to some of these other kids that you're talking about that I feel absolutely bad for, because my youngest one was having speech problems before this even started. How much worse would it have been if we had sent them to school, put masks on them, she started out kind of bad in kindergarten because we had a left-wing, off-the-charts liberal teacher from San Diego who was screwing her up to the point of, we're just like, are you kidding me? Singing evergreen songs and just twisting their minds up and not giving them the attention, you know, ostracizing them for whatever reason. So my point is, That's where I think we got to go, most parents.
Well, let me go ahead and chime in here, because while you guys have been talking, I had something that was kind of on my heart today and did the research here and got it brought up. We watch in 2020 and 2021, we watch the political murder of our teenagers and our children. I have articles right here, suicide statistics. This is a report for 2020. Suicide was the 12th leading cause of death in the United States. We watched 1.2 million suicide attempts. We watched 130 children per day who died. According to the CDC's information, we had less than 730 children who were under the age of 19.
Well, you're going right back to my point. Was this good, that their policies?
This was
for our
political
good?
Murder. And
absolutely.
Here, check this out. So right here. I have dated 5-4, White House defends CDC outreach to the teachers union. In this article, they talk about the 50 stakeholders that they talked to develop these plans on whether or not they were going to open our schools or not, and whether or not they were going to follow these guidelines. And mind you, 730 children by the end of 2021, and most of those were unrelated to COVID or had multiple other things going on at the same time. Now, you just add up how many kids killed themselves because they couldn't go out, because they couldn't live their lives. Right. You end up looking at, especially these younger kids who are 12, 13, 14 years old. That's constituting a vast portion of their lives.
We started out with the online education, which was a complete failure. He was going to Central, in Central Valley at CV. I don't know what they call it now. I guess it's still Central Valley High. But the online learning was a joke at that point. And now I'm not saying that there couldn't be an application if it was done properly, but there's nobody checking. I mean, he did a bunch of work and submitted the things, and then they said they didn't get any of it. And so he's right back to square one. So he lost almost the whole year because of the online learning thing. We finally just put our hands up and said we'd had enough. And every night it was a fight over, you know, getting the work done, you know, trying to figure out what he was doing, how do you check on what he was doing, all of that. It was terrible.
So I'm convinced that it doesn't work, and the reason is because I was committed, fully worked so hard on developing new programs for the online learning, and I had some parents very engaged, and those kids still.
Right.
Still, there's just a disconnect, and it didn't work, and we never can go back to that ever again.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Well, we've had probably, I don't know, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, whenever it was, was the push to get each kid like their own laptop or their own device.
Right.
Well, since learning has went down since mm-hmm. we've put technology into the classroom to that level, we need to be teaching our children. They need to be engaged.
Interactive with right. adults. Right. You know, it's not just about learning something. It's also getting context. It's also about getting wisdom. It's also about building character. And I think those, I mean, how do you get that out of a Zuckerberg Facebook No, you get slanted viewpoints, you get opinions, but you don't get someone explaining things to you, you know, and showing context. You know, like, here's one of my pet peeves. This will be quick, and then we'll go to the break. Are we a democracy or a republic?
Republic.
How do we know that, and what's the difference?
Well, we have representatives.
Here's what I'm going to say. Okay, we know we're a republic because it says it right in the Pledge of Allegiance, and to the republic for which it stands. It doesn't say, and to the democracy for which it stands. And the difference between a democracy, which the founding fathers called a mobocracy, because the bigger population could vote out the rights of the smaller population anytime they wanted to. They said, we'll set up a republic that we have a set of rules that gives everybody these rights, and nobody can vote them out. That's the big difference between a republic and a democracy, is you can't have the majority vote out the rights of the minority. And wow, we just lost that. I mean, every time I watch the TV, we're a democracy, we're a democracy, we're a democracy. Why don't we start talking about what a republic is and why it's different than a democracy? And with that, I think we should go to a break before I pop a cork.
You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM 1460 AM, and we'll be right back after the break.
I was kind of stupid.
You're like me.
Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere ag and turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about it? Well, I was sitting in a coffee shop just having a cup to pass the time, swapping rodeo stories with this old cowboy friend of mine, when some motorcycle riders started snickering in the back and started poking fun at my friend's hat. And one old boy said, "Hey, Tex, where'd you park your horse?" A friend just pulled his hat down low, but they couldn't be ignored. One husky fella said, "I think I'll rip that hat right off your head." That's when my friend turned around, and this is what he said. "You'll ride a black tornado across the western sky, rope an old blue norther and milk it till it's dry. Bulldog the Mississippi, and its ears down flat, long before you take this cowboy's hat. Now, partner, this old hat's better left alone. See, it used to be my daddy's, but last year he passed on. My nephew's got the rattler that makes up this old hat.
Am I on? Oh, I am on. That's a good song, Chris LeDoux. I did enjoy some of Sally's stuff earlier. I got to say that Peter Frampton stuff gets me up.
Oh, that's a good song. Yeah.
No doubt about it. I saw Frampton twice, so he's got a special place in my heart. So, anyway, there was a couple of questions that I was trying to get to in the chat room, where should we start? And we want to thank our guests, both Katie Gorman and Brian Caples, for being in here and holding over. Good interview. I apologize if I overran it a little bit, because I just get so mad about this stuff. It's just ridiculous to even think about what's going on and the fact that people are swallowing some of this crap.
Well, and you should be. A lot of these things that I ended up pulling up that we didn't get a chance to talk about before the break is – all of the information that's coming out over these last few weeks and the things that have dropped. So the same day as we have the drop for Roe v. Wade and that information getting leaked, we have the Ghislaine Maxwell getting 10 years reduced off of her sentence and a lot of the other things that were just being dropped from her.
Yeah, they take these crises and make a big deal out of one thing and while they're kind of shuffling the stuff that might be, you know, I'm not saying that none of that's important as much as I'm saying they have a, you know, anytime there's a big story, look for the stories that aren't being, reported or looked at.
So that's exactly it. So this right here, as of May 12th, the FBI investigating multiple parents who protested education policies, contracting AG Garland's testimony,
contradicting,
thank you. The investigations were opened following a request from the National School Boards Association in October of 2021. Lawmakers were informed of the FBI's actions by whistleblowers, according to a letter from Republicans on the House Judiciary Committee to Attorney General Merrick Garland. In sworn testimony before this committee, you denied that the Department of Justice or its components were using counterterrorism statutes and resources to target parents at school board meetings, wrote Ohio Representative Jim Jordan and Louisiana Representative Mike Johnson. The new evidence allegedly shows the FBI conducted at least 12 investigations into parents under its counterterrorism division. Think about that.
The force is with you, young Skywalker.
Yeah.
You know, this kind of gives us a little segue into the 2,000 mules thing, because
not yet, because I want to stay on this for just one.
Well, second. I'll just give you a point here that, and then we can talk about it after you go through what you're doing there. Is that in the 2,000 mules? One of the fact checkers' arguments has been that the geo tracking is not reliable, even though they used it in January 6 against those guys, and they also geo tracked the parents on this FBI investigation to see if they were complying with the lockdowns.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also at the same time, we ended up finding out this last week that the CDC ended up buying the data for cell phone data and started tracking people very much the same way that they did in this 2,000 mules thing.
Yeah.
And the left is over here saying, "Oh, you can't go by geo tracking."
Yeah, it's not reliable.
Tracking. Okay, so wait, the police use it, the military uses it, the government uses it.
They convict people of murder with the use of it.
It's worse than that. The military will target people using geolocation of their cell phone
They'll
and
kill you
bomb
with
them with
you know,
it.
It's like what, you know, it's like what Jan Bongino says. He cracks me up. I listened to him quite a bit this last week. And he says, what's the main rule of what's the main rule of society is don't get dead. And all these other rules, don't get dead. But, you know, the point being is that, you know, this is coming to a head, okay? And this 2,000 mules thing is big. And I guess we got Jimmy on the line. Let's go to Jimmy.
Oh, my gosh. You guys kind of swayed off the path there.
Sorry.
is Brian Cable still there?
No, they had to go. They had to leave. I was trying to get. I saw your chat room question, but I couldn't get it up because I was trying to tee it up and I was going to do it right after the break, but they said they had to go.
Oh, no worries. I was just going to mention the fact that somebody I know had a child in second or third grade here in Shasta County, and they had their. Their kid's teacher, who this kid's seen every day, day in, day out, he's seen this teacher out in public, and that teacher was not wearing a mask. His son did not recognize his own teacher because that teacher had worn a mask for the last, however, 8 months or whatever. Isn't that disturbing?
The whole thing is disturbing. This bill that California is trying to pass that says that 12 years and older can receive vaccines without parent consent. You know, and they're going to coerce them into it. They're going to, separate them from their friends. You can't play sports and have some kind of a vaccine clinic without the parents' knowledge. It's like, who are these people?
Right, and, children need that kind of interaction. They need facial expression. They need, having kids 6 feet apart and all that, it's like, it's totally Orwellian.
Well,
yeah, it's horrible.
I totally agree, Jimmy. And here's what the biggest problem is there's a lot of guys out there that just twist everything. It's like this last week, somebody says, I was listening to a conversation from somebody on a message phone, and they were saying, you don't understand the rule of law, and you don't use the rule. I don't advocate the rule of law. Of course I advocate the rule of law. I don't, but their definition of rule of law is blind allegiance to the government, okay? They forget that if, let's say, we have a constitution in a republic that says you can own a gun, and then they pass a law that says you can't have a gun. Now, that's a conflict in the law. So which should override it? Which is superior to the other?
Right. And you guys were talking about, like the mainstream media sidetracking people. So lately, of course it's been Ukraine, and we know the whole debacle behind that situation.
We're going to talk about that a little more, Jimmy, and this $40 billion that got passed.
And then there's, so we had the abortion thing that, you have all these protesters. And I called in last week. There is birth control out there, people, of all sorts. You don't have to get pregnant and abort a child that is alive. I mean, come on, people.
Well, here's the other thing that nobody's talking about either that they admit. This doesn't get rid of abortion. It puts it back into the hands of the states so the individual states can decide what they want to do. And
That's that one thing in the Constitution, right? Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, where if it's not specifically enumerated in the Constitution, it's supposed to be left up to the people in the states respectively. And they're not talking about that because what they want is all power consolidated in Washington. That's what the morons don't get out there that are doing this. They don't even know what they're protesting about. They think they're protesting about whether they can have abortion or not. What they're protesting is who's controlling the law that with regards to the abortions.
Okay. Now do I have a couple minutes here?
Go ahead.
So here's the latest scare tactic they got going is the baby formula thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I looked into baby formula. It's very interesting. In America in 1920, the first, I think it was either Infamil or Simulac came out from a company. And now they are controlled by, guess who? Abbott Laboratories.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. And whatever happened to mother's milk, you know? I mean, I guess that's not a thing anymore.
And that's my next point. What did people do before they could just grab a can of powdered baby formula and dump it in a bottle? Now, I realize that there's certain childs with, you know, allergies, and sometimes women can't produce that milk. I understand that.
Do you know what a great alternative to that is before you go on? Is goat's milk. My uncle was raised on goat's milk because he had an allergic reaction to mother's milk, I guess. And goat's milk. Is,
yep.
Yeah, I mean, how did all the other kids that got to the point where they were our parents survive?
No.
Okay, exactly.
Take
exactly,
a step back,
Mark.
Guys.
That's my point. All these people are panicking because you can't get a can of instant, you know, baby formula. But the main thing that.
Wait till they can't get a loaf of bread.
Do, and you can look it up, is evaporated milk.
Right.
Because you could. It was canned. You could carry it unrefrigerated. And women would. They'd have their babies feed on evaporated milk, maybe a little bit of sweetener in there because it's unsweetened. And then for additional substance, they give them orange juice and cod liver oil.
Well, that's, I'm telling you, Jimmy, that's misinformation, and the Ministry of Mary Poppins is going to come after you.
Well,
right.
here's the thing. So,
you know,
never had these shortages until men could get pregnant, and it's obvious that the men are not donating breast milk to these milk banks. That's what it comes down to.
Right. But, I mean, you know, people should adapt and overcome, because we did it before all these ModCon conveniences, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, I agree. Totally. I think it's blown out of proportion, because you know what comes out of the TV? Fear. Constantly. Fear of COVID. Fear of shortages. Fear of this. Now, I'm not saying some of those aren't legitimate and you shouldn't pay attention
exactly.
to some things. But what I'm saying is, if your whole life is revolving around fear, you can't make clear decisions and you are easily manipulated into doing what the government tells you.
That's one of the main steps of any of these organizations that want to take over. What you look at is, in places where communism was thriving, they kept people in a constant state of fear, kept them looking for food all day long, so they wouldn't actually stand against their actions. All right, who's the largest farm owner in America now, as of last year? Who is it?
I don't know. I learned.
Start with a Bill and end with a Gates.
There we go.
And do you know what else he is? Besides a bunch of other stuff that we probably couldn't say on the air, probably get us kicked off, is that he's also the largest donor to the World Health Organization.
Okay, so I also have another article here that's a very interesting one, because this was June 16th, 2020. Bill Gates' climate change investment firm bets on lab-produced breast milk. BioMilk is targeting infant nutrition by attempting to reproduce mother's breast milk in a lab. The startup has just earned the backing of the world's top investors by raising $3.5 million in a series of funding of breakthrough energy ventures.
Well, let's hear what Jimmy has to say. Well, either that or we'll get him off the line. Go ahead, Jimmy.
I almost threw up in my mouth. How can you have laboratory breast milk? Okay, one quick thing and I'll get off the line is I keep forgetting your co-host's name. He's been on it forever and he's awesome.
Dave Johnson?
No, your co-host.
My co-host? That is my co-host.
Hi.
Oh, you mean my sister?
No. Sorry, okay, right. He brought up last week a very, very important point about this whole syndicate cabal thing about abortion is Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much money involved with stem cells and whatever they're doing. So that is a very important point your co-host made.
Dave.
So anyways, all right, guys.
Dave's not here.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave who?
I won't forget now. Okay.
Dave,
all right, gentlemen.
Dave's not here.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right, thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate the call. Okay, so let's see what I got here.
So check this out. This story gets more insidious as we go on further. So listen to the reason why they're wanting to produce this. Right now, by estimation, we have been able to make at least 10% of the dairy market globally ends up in infant formula, Edgar said. That means per infant fed formula in the United States, 5,700 metric tons of CO2 are produced, and 4,300 gallons of fresh water are consumed each year to feed a child. Parents want to do what is best for their kids, but shouldn't have to decide between feeding their children and protecting their planet. Oh, my gosh.
Well, I mean.
How sick can you be in the head to be like, oh, well, we don't really want your kid to use 4,300 gallons of water per year, so here, Soylent Green for you.
Well, hey, Janet, Janet Yellen was basically saying last week, man, hey, we just need to get rid of some of these people because, oh, boy. All right, so I want to come back. Let's pull it back in, and I want to talk a little bit more about the local election race because we got to stay focused on that a little bit here because we're in the middle of it, and we're at the end. We're not in the middle of it. We're at the end of this thing. Votes are going in as we're speaking. So I want to play this from Eric Jensen, and this is a little clip. He was doing a candidate forum. I'm not sure where the forum was at, but he was, having a debate, if you will, or I don't know what you call it anymore because, you know, I don't know if debates, say all that they're doing, but I'm going to say forum. So against Stephanie Bridget. And Stephanie Bridget, what I took away from this is, She says nothing about policy. She denies nothing. It's all about, well, we're honest and we're hardworking. Well, everybody's hardworking. I want to know what your policies are and some of this refuting of what Derek Jensen is saying. And I looked it up and what he's saying is absolutely true and she doesn't deny it. So here's Eric Jensen and Stephanie Bridget. Are we ready to go? Here we go.
Finding by an appellate court judge that a chief deputy district attorney in this county misled the jury. That's a tremendous cost to the taxpayer.
Okay, so I am 100% a person of truth, of honesty. That is so important to me, and that's why it has been very frustrating during this process to hear so much misinformation and outright lies about my office. Everyone in my office works very, very hard. And if you know the truth about that case that was just mentioned and read the entire opinion and know about the case, characterizing it that way is not honest. It's just not. And I have always been honest. It is very important to me. It's one of the biggest pillars of what a district attorney needs
to
do.
I'm going to post the McCatten murder trial decision, and you can read it for yourself. I think what we're seeing here is a gamble. It's a gamble that you're not going to follow up and do your own research and that you're going to take her word for it. This is part of the problem that we have in our culture. This is part of the problem that we've experienced at a national level, that people in position of authority will tell you something and tell you that it is the truth and not give you the information to prove that it is the truth. It is the truth. What I said about the appellate court judge determining that her chief deputy DA misled the jury, 100% the truth. The fact that she said that it's not, I don't know where you get there. But I can tell you this as well. When you're talking about culture, this is something that has to change. I have had her deputy DAs curse at me publicly at an event. This happened just 2 weeks ago. I have had her events stacked with employees of hers who refuse to reveal themselves to a public that's concerned about an election. I have had a chief deputy district attorney's wife defame me on multiple occasions. And then you also have to ask yourself, why is there even that relationship there where there is a chief deputy district attorney supervising a spouse? Now, this leads me to the other issue, and that is this. Who is the watchdog of the watchdog? When she began this speech, she said that the district attorney's office was the last line of defense, and I agree with that. And that precisely is the problem. When there is no accountability, you have a breakdown of epic proportions that should scare every member of this community. When there is a crisis, and I believe that there will be, we are living in perilous times, it is so important that the people in positions of power are ones you can trust. And that will be my guarantee to you, that you will be able to trust me. I am not building upon a pension. I'm not beholden to anybody. I am here simply because I was asked by members of the community to help, and I believe that I can. And I have a wonderful team that's forming already. I have Thomas Toller, who is experienced in training district attorneys. He's got 10 years under his belt in Sacramento training district attorneys. We will be a better office. I am looking forward to serving you, and I look forward to having your vote on June 7th. Thank you.
So, a couple points I want to make here. Nobody gets prosecuted on about it. Let's talk about 2,000 Mules, and then we'll come back here. Here's why I want to talk about 2,000 Mules. We got absolute evidence of people stuffing the ballots. Whether you believe that swayed the election or not, whether we've, but there is 4 million some odd minutes of people stuffing the ballots illegally in these states. How come nobody's interviewing these people? How come nobody is arresting anybody? How come nobody's, you know, interrogating these people on who paid them, who gave them the ballots, where they organized from, who hired them, where they come from? How come nobody's doing that? Okay. How come nobody's doing that? And I have another question here. Okay. For the locals. All right. So we heard through the races, through the recalls.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there was death threats. There was death threats to Rickards. There was death threats to, that came out of the blue, and then all these death threats. Well, how come nobody's been investigated or prosecuted? Isn't giving somebody a death threat to a county supervisor illegal? I don't know, like Patrick Jones, who has been threatened numerous times with death threats. How come, and we even know who it is. We even know who it is. Okay, he's threatened me. He's threatened so many people that it's ridiculous. Nobody arrests. No arrests. Nothing ever happens. He doesn't, we don't know. Isn't that? So that's the problem with selective prosecution, is they reward their friends and they punish their enemies by not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that's what we've got going.
It's anarcho-tyranny. That's all it is. The term of anarcho-tyranny is where you have one side that selectively prosecutes somebody else. I mean, it's pretty obvious what's going on here all across the country. Why do we have situations to where right now, just this last week, you have federal crimes that are being committed by people trying to sway the results of the Roe v. Wade decision to where people are protesting in front of the homes of these judges?
Why
that
isn't nobody
clearly
getting it's illegal. Okay. If they were protesting in front of the liberal judges, would those guys get a pass?
Oh, they would be in jail. I mean, it's
if they were protesting at the Capitol because they thought the election was stolen, would they get a pass?
I mean, it shows already. We've already seen it.
We already know that the election was stolen. If you haven't watched 2,000 Mules, you need to watch it. All the fact checkers obviously just watched the trailers. They didn't watch the whole thing. Watch it. And then you can talk to me intelligently about it. Because the real deal is, we know the election was stolen. It's not conjecture anymore. The proof is in the pudding. The proof is there. All you have to do is look at it. And they're trying to pat this. It's funny that nobody's reporting this in mainstream media, and the attorneys at Fox News have said to keep it off the air.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
Well, and the videos that get to stay up, this is one of the things that frustrates me to absolute no end. The videos that get to stay up have portions of truth in them,
right,
followed by wild conspiracy crap about flat earth. And they want to paint that narrative. If you come out and you use their data and their information, which I have some data and some information I'm going to be going over with a Freedom of Information request after the top of the hour, that should really wake a lot of people up. But you know what? It's not going to be covered by Fox. It's not going to be covered by the mainstream news. And it will be taken down and censored off of any of these platforms. And that's just the fact of the matter. If you actually have any type of information that is out there that is truthful and logical and honest and pointing to their exact words that they can't get out of, they'll ban you. I know, because I am permabanned off of Facebook. I can't go and buy a new phone in cash and activate a Facebook account.
You're permabanned?
I am permabanned. My wife was permabanned, and she, on a trip back to her mom's house in another state, her brother got a new phone, and he was able to have her set up another account on Facebook. She had been permabanned at that point for 2 years.
I have a question. Okay. And I'm going back to Shasta Vote. Shasta Vote is the organization that's, promoting, funding the campaigns of several different guys. Okay. So we got 2 minutes left. And my question is this. How much? 30 seconds? Okay, we'll have to come back after the break, and I'll explain what I'm talking about with Shasta Vote and why I'm kind of curious about something.
You let them put the fear on you. Stand and deliver. Not a word you heard was true. But if there's nothing you can say, there may be nothing you can do. Do you want to be a free man? Or do you want to be a slave? Do you want to be a free man? Or do you want to be...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. One Virginia county is saying no to extra security against abortion activists.
Fairfax County officials rebuffed a request from Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin to establish a security perimeter around the neighborhoods of Supreme Court justices living in the county who have faced protests outside their homes following the leak of a draft opinion that would overturn the Roe v. Wade abortion rights decision. The Board of Supervisors say the request is too drastic and would infringe on the protesters' First Amendment rights. Rhonda Rockster reporting.
The 18-year-old gunman whom authorities say killed 10 people at a Buffalo supermarket yesterday had previously threatened a shooting at his high school and was sent for mental health treatment. A law enforcement official telling the AP that Peyton Gendron had appeared on the radar of police last year after he threatened to carry out a shooting at Susquehanna High School around the time of graduation. Last week was a pretty wild one in crypto, even by crypto standards.
Bitcoin tumbled, stable coins were anything but stable, and one of the crypto industry's highest profile companies lost a third of its market value. On Friday, Bitcoin traded around $30,000 after earlier in the week falling to the lowest level since December 2020. Investors have been selling Bitcoin along with other risky assets as the Federal Reserve raises interest rates. Meanwhile, a popular stablecoin called Terra lost its peg to the dollar and plunged to 14 cents. The cryptocurrency trading platform Coinbase lost about a third of its market value. Keith Peters reporting.
New Mexico's governor is asking for additional federal assistance to respond to wildfires burning across the state's north, including one that is the second largest in the state's history and that officials estimate has destroyed hundreds of homes. He says the federal government needs to step in. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You're not required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-786-2300. 800-786-2300. That's 800-786-2300.
The California legislature has voted to increase how much money people can win in medical malpractice lawsuits.
Since 1975, the most Californians could win for pain in a medical malpractice lawsuit was $250,000. Starting January 1st, that will increase to $350,000. The limits will increase gradually over the next decade until they reach $750,000 for injured patients and $1 million for the relatives of deceased patients. Governor Gavin Newsom says he will sign the bill into law. John Scott reporting.
Okinawa Governor Denny Tamaki has urged Japan's central government to do more to reduce the U.S. military presence in the Southern Island group as it marks the 50th anniversary of its return to Japanese rule. Tamaki says Okinawa has come a long way since the devastation of World War II and nearly three decades of U.S. rule. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. North Korea is reporting at least 21 new deaths as the country scrambles to slow the spread of COVID-19.
This is a country that is not equipped to handle any kind of an outbreak. They certainly are afraid of even the flu. And so when you go into hospitals, you'll see signs that say we have to exercise preventative care because they don't have medicine. And on top of that, this is a country where the people are incredibly poor. They've been suffering from malnutrition for decades, and they're just physically not equipped to cope with illness. And so we can assume that given how devastating Omicron has been in so many communities around the world, that's going to be devastating in North Korea as well. And this is also a country where the people are not vaccinated.
BBC correspondent Jean Lee. Today is Sunday, May the 15th, and some famous people are celebrating birthday, including Baseball Hall of Famer George Brett. He's 69. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Through the madness and the lies, as they're holding back the truth, no matter what they try, I will always fight for you. I will save your innocence they are trying to remove. I am here at your defense, and I will always fight for you. Yes, I will always fight for you. I will stand here in the way, and I will not give up on you. I will shield you from the pain. In the battle on the field, there is evil on the move, but I hope that you can feel that I will always fight for you.
I mean, hell, little Johnny can't read, little Johnny can't write, public school hates math, and anyone who's white, but the school board's gonna fix everything, it's true. They're gonna put tampons in the boys' room.
What?
The boys' room.
Huh?
The boys' room. Gonna put tampons in the boys' room.
What?
The boys' room.
Huh?
The boys' room. Gonna put tampons in the boys' room. We rank 36 in mathematics. Good thing crack pipes are given to addicts. Some dude wins Olympics cause he puts on a dress, and if you call his ass out, he'll just say he's oppressed. Man, you can't unring the mental illness bell. You look around you, it's all gone to hell. Good thing all our leaders know what to do. They're gonna put tampons in the boys' room.
What?
The boys' room.
Huh?
The boys' room. Gonna put tampons.
Yeah, that's what we're dealing with. boy. Okay, so a couple of things. Is I heard that commercial about the vaccines and stuff. Yeah, we want to emulate North Korea. Are you kidding me? So now we're aspiring to be like North Korea?
Well, I mean,
maybe I didn't hear it right.
All this time, it seems like they've been aspiring to be like China. So
I think,
why not just take the next step?
Just take the next step. Come on, you know, show us what you're made of. All right. So going back to local elections, I did look at that Derek Jensen court document, and yeah, it's what he's saying is true. You can go look it up. It's on his website on Facebook, Eric Jensen. And here's my question. When we went to the break, we've got six candidates that are all running kind of on the same platform with vote, Shasta Vote, okay? And my question is, okay, we got Michael Johnson, Barrett Browning, Aaron Reznor, Stephanie Bridget, Judy Flores, and Kathy Darling Allen, and they all are saying, we're your trusted, experienced leaders for Shasta County. Kathy Allen Darling is a registered Democrat. I think Judy Flores, if she's not a registered Democrat, she should be because she follows everything that the Democrats do. Stephanie Bridget says she's a Republican and does everything that a Democrat does. I don't know enough about Browning. Reznor's gone along with everything, you know, down at City Hall with the other two Democrats. And Michael Johnson, I have some problems with, okay? Just saying. So my question is, this is Shasta County. And all of the, and you've got, it's all about, you know, the experience, or is it all about the good old boy club? Is this all, who's funding all of this? That there's nothing, you know, no difference between these candidates as far as their stances, or that we just fund Democrats and Republicans alike, even though we're on opposite sides of the fence on a lot of things? Are the lines just blurred, or is this about an entrenchment of a political class that you can't get rid of because the big money, I don't know, like Sierra Pacific, funds all this stuff to keep them locally? Yeah, we could do the argument, well, Lon Chubble, he's a Connecticut billionaire. Okay, I'm saying, why? Okay, we've got the Liberty Committee and a few other funding things and this and that. I don't have any problem with the funding. What I have a problem with is the lying of the message. Oh, we're all conservative. We're here for your children. This and that. No, no, they're all entrenched politicians that are part of the establishment, being paid for by a group of rich people, if you will, or a rich person, to elect them all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, really, what we're seeing here is we're just seeing just how deep the corruption goes.
And I'm like,
all
why?
The way from the top down here. I mean, honestly, if we really want to discuss what needs to happen in the United States right now, period, to actually fix this, to the people that didn't actually pay attention this entire time, it would be mind-blowing. All right, strip every head of every department across the United States, every upper officer in the military, eliminate all of them. All of them gone. Everybody at the top of the CIA, FBI, ATF, all of them gone.
We got this whistleblower document that came out this last week that talked about all the corruption and actually even made the paper. Jeez. You know, that was going on inside the chambers with Modi and Magrini and Pontes and all these guys. Okay, we finally got rid of Modi. How come all these guys are being supported by left-wing bomb throwers? Mm-hmm. How come the guys that are supporting these other people are Marxists?
How come we have quote-unquote Republicans that constantly are voting on things?
Boy, you know right where we're headed, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you look at what's going on right now. You look at the votes that people just ended up passing, like the $40 billion to Ukraine. How many Republicans supported that?
Okay, we're going to go there. But first, before we go there, I've got to bring this up. I posted this all over Facebook. And this is about Sherrilyn Moore. In Eureka, who was killed in, 2006, I believe, at some point. And it's disturbing. I've posted this on my Facebook. I'll let you all make up your own mind. This is about, our, sheriff, Johnson, Mike Johnson. I'll let you guys read it. I'm not gonna, maybe you can figure out. There's some troublesome things in there about how that was handled over there. He was part of the deal, and a SWAT team that burst in and this woman was killed. I'm not gonna cast any aspersion as much as there's a couple of things that are in there that are troubling to me. And I think that it should be made public to, people so that they can make up their own minds. With that said, let's go to the House approves a $40 billion in aid vote for the Ukraine. And only 57 Republicans voted no. Now, I bet you're going to ask yourself the question, how did our congressman vote? He voted for it.
Huh.
Yeah, with the Democrats. $40 billion. Okay, so I have a little clip here that I want to play. I got a couple of them. I had to sort of pare it down, but we'll go with Tucker Carlson on this one. And here's his little spiel on the $40 billion budget. Are we ready to go? All right, here we go.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson. Tonight, there is nothing in the world worse than finding out that your deepest fears are justified. That's the nightmare scenario, learning there really is a zombie in the closet. Let's say you're a kid and you've convinced yourself that your parents don't really love you. They claim they do. They say it all the time, usually without looking up from their iPhones. But you can tell they don't really mean it. They don't seem sincere. And then one Christmas morning confirmation, you discover they've forgotten to buy you presents, any presents. They were busy and it just slipped their mind. Instead, they spent all their time and all their money buying gifts for a kid down the street. So all the things that you asked for, they gave to another 9-year-old you have never met. How'd that make you feel? Well, you'd be crushed, but you would also be vindicated. You would know for a dead certain fact that your parents really didn't love you. They're not even very interested in you. That's how a lot of Americans felt last night watching the House of Representatives approve yet another massive aid package for Ukraine. Nothing against Ukraine, but we could probably use that money here right about now. After 100 years of virtually uninterrupted wealth generation, the American economy appears to be faltering in ways that are scary to anyone who's paying attention. Even people who aren't paying attention can sense there's something really wrong. Lots of people are not working. Those who are working are getting poor quickly thanks to inflation. All of a sudden, everything is wildly more expensive. Have you noticed? We literally have a shortage of baby formula right now. Did you think that would happen in America ever? And yet it is happening. And so is the deadliest drug epidemic in our history. About 107,000 of your fellow Americans, most of them young people who should have had long, productive lives, are instead dead. They have died from drug ODs over the past year. This is the saddest thing that has happened in our country in a very long time. And yet Congress, which claims to run the country, can't be bothered even to acknowledge it, much less do anything about it. Instead, your representatives in Washington just voted to send yet another $40 billion to the Ukrainian oligarchs who paid off the president's son. That's what happened. And it's just the latest check that Congress has cut them. You can add it to the approximately $14 billion they've already spent on Ukraine. That brings the total as of tonight to more than $54 billion. How much is that? Well, for perspective, it is more than we spent per year on average on the war in Afghanistan, a war that began with a direct attack on the United States. $54 billion. That's about as much as Russia, the country, spends on its entire armed forces over the course of a full year. It is a ludicrous amount. And yet Congress happily approved it. In fact, they allocated $7 billion more than Joe Biden asked for. That's how excited they were to do it. So where's this money going? Oh, that's the best part. Congress has decided to fix all of the pressing problems that need to be fixed, except fix them in Ukraine, not here. So the main course of all of this funding from day one has been to secure Ukraine's borders. Because, you know, you can't have a country without borders. They have to be secure. Nancy Pelosi strongly believes that about Ukraine, and so do her friends on the Republican side. So Ukrainian border security is the main goal. Then there's the problem of, quote, food insecurity. Not here, in Ukraine. Food's getting expensive in Ukraine. So we're going to spend $760 million to fix that, just in this check. And not just in Ukraine. Congress was feeling kind of sporty. Also added $150 million for something called the Global Agriculture and Food Security Program, because while we're feeding Ukraine, why not feed the rest of the world? We've got more food than we can use. And of course, that will obviously include baby formula too, because kids in other countries need to eat. Then there's another huge chunk of cash to, quote, combat human trafficking. Now, not combat human trafficking in Texas, where it is now ubiquitous thanks to the open borders with Mexico, but to combat human trafficking in Ukraine. Because it's sad what's happening there. But not here. That's not sad. We're ignoring it. There's still more money to make sure Ukrainians have emergency shelter, because apparently more than 1 million Americans aren't homeless tonight. There's $900 million to make sure Ukrainians have access to, quote, entitlement programs. Our entitlement programs, they'll need them when they arrive here, as many will. In other words, you can't afford to fill your truck, but you now get to pay the living expenses of anyone who shows up in your country claiming to be from Ukraine, and you will. And then, because paying off your friends is always the real point of these exercises in Washington, there are billions more dollars for Lloyd Austin's former employers in the weapons business. That would include $72 million for something the bill describes as, quote, research, development, test, and evaluation in Ukraine. Now, don't say biolabs, because that's not allowed, but honestly, this is weird. Ukraine is a war zone, and therefore probably not a great place for scientific research right now, but whatever. We're funding some kind of science experiments in Ukraine. No more questions from you. And the bill goes on like this, and on and on. As Congressman Thomas Massie has pointed out, Congress has now spent more money on Ukraine in 6 months than the U.S. government spent on all roads and all bridges in the United States over all of last year. The $40 billion we're sending to Ukraine so they can secure their borders, by the way, is more than double what Joe Biden has asked to fund customs and border security in the United States. One bill, more than double what we're spending this year on our borders. And then in the middle of this historic drug emergency, and it is, the bill spends more than 10 times the entire budget of the DEA. More than 10 times. Just in case you're wondering how your leaders feel about you. They're not fans at all. And now we know for sure. You should know that every single Democrat in the House of Representatives voted for this bill. That would include even Barbara Lee of Berkeley. Now, if you remember her name, it may be because in 2001, Barbara Lee of Berkeley was the only member of Congress to oppose the war against the Taliban. But a war in Ukraine is a war that Barbara Lee can support. Why? Because there's no potential chance that war could help the United States.
I think that covers a lot of ground. I'm a little concerned when you look at this bill. I know, we're going to hear from our representative and their aides and all the people that work for them if we call their office that, we're not smart enough to know what this is about. We don't know the inside story. They know what's going on. We don't.
So, as we came in here today, I ended up showing you a video of President Zelensky, now President Zelensky, doing a comedy skit in which he was requesting Mein Kampf and talking about how he would go out onto his balcony and just do some morning stretches and making the Heil Hitler hand salute. And we end up seeing more and more information coming out about this Azmanov battalion and the Nazi battalion that's over there. And all of these people that claim to be against Nazis are not saying anything. You have all of these organizations, all the mainstream news companies that are so happy to throw out fascist and Nazi and all these labels. But when you have it right before your very eyes with logos and all, they say nothing.
And of course, I feel bad for the American Ukrainian people, and I feel bad for the Russian people because it's the governments that are the problem. But they don't talk about any of this other corruption. We know that there's a ton of corruption. And why is this going on? Is there kickbacks going on to everybody's friend? You get $40 billion. Oh, that's how these guys historically do the kickbacks. And why are we going to get take Joe Biden as in his word for this is the right thing to do, not escalating into World War III, because Joe Biden has all of his faculties at this point, and he's just been spot on with every strategy that he's ever implemented, right? And our Congressman Doug LaMalfa voted for this bill. I've never been a big fan of LaMalfa. I've kept my mouth shut for quite some time because, he started resurging as a constitutional patriot. The initial thing that really ticked me off about LaMalfa was taking money from Monsanto back in the day. Okay. So now it's okay to vote a bill when we don't secure our own borders. It's okay to vote a bill when we don't secure, our own American people's lives. We got inflation escalating out of control. And printing money doesn't matter, does it? You can just keep doing this, right? Nothing ever is gonna happen because these guys are strategically smarter than all of us. I am so sick of this crap because that's what we're gonna hear. You don't know the inside baseball. You're not smart enough.
Well, and at the same time, I keep going back to this thing. This is what they're talking about in the mainstream news. I want to talk about the things that are actually going to affect us and that are requiring change
now. Well, this does affect us. They're sending $40 billion to the Ukraine and not giving $40 billion to a border wall security. How much was the border wall?
It does, but here, let me hit this. This is an example of what I mean real quick. Pull up the email. Go ahead and post the four links so people can follow along. This was reported by the Gateway Pundit. This is also reported by Involve. World Health Organization is preparing to vote to strip the U.S. and 194 other nations of its sovereignty and give them total control of the world. This is an open letter that was done, and I'm just going to go ahead and read this to you verbatim.
Yeah, go ahead, because I don't...
To people throughout the world, governments, presidents, health ministers, independent media, to the World Health Organization, via World Health Assembly, Dr. Tedros Adhanom, can't say his last name, Dr. Soumya Samanthan, to the United Nations via Antonio Guterres, Lumen Zeman, and a few other names. To the World Council for Health, the coalition of scientists, doctors, lawyers, and civil society advocacy organizations opposes the World Health Organization moves to implement a power grab in the form of a global pandemic agreement, while the world's attention is diverted by the latest crisis. The proposed World Health Organization agreement is unnecessary and is a threat to sovereignty and inalienable rights. It increases the World Health Organization's suffocating power to declare unjustified pandemics, impose dehumanizing lockdowns, and enforce expensive, unsafe, and ineffective treatments against the will of the people. The WCH believes that people have a right to participate in any agreement that affects their lives, livelihoods, and well-being. However, the World Health Organization is not engaged in a process of public participation, which is evidence that is a priority, is capturing more power for itself and its corporate accomplices, then serving the interests of the people without an unbiased democratic process. Any agreement by the World Health Organization acting via the United Nations will be unlawful and illegitimate and invalid. Historically, the World Health Organization leadership has failed the people. Amongst many examples, it approved the injurious H1N1 swine flu vaccine for a convolutedly declared pandemic. Equally, the World Health Organization failed during the COVID-19 chapter and encouraged its lockdowns. But what he actually said on this as well is he said, inordinate amount of power to make decisions in sovereign countries as to how people live and deal with pandemics from lockdowns to mandates over treatment. This would cede all of the control over what the United States can do. And they're voting on this on the 22nd to the 28th. It would go into effect in November.
Nobody's going to comply. You know, and I understand your concern, and I think it's a valid concern. But here's the real deal. What's waking people up on this 2,000 mules is that this guy wasn't elected legitimately, and there's proof. So now he's going to make agreements. Are these agreements on behalf of the American people, are they going to be a null and void thing? I think so, because who's going to enforce them? Is this going to be turned into a police state? What this might cause is a civil war, because, you know, here's the problem with America. Everybody has got arms to protect themselves, and the hardest thing to do to subdue a country is when the population is armed, because it's you just can't roll in here and take everybody's freedom away. And I don't know if that's going to happen or what's going to happen. All I'm saying is that these people are, it's legitimate. These people are trying to take over the world. The World Health Organization is a criminal organization, and they're trying to use the COVID and whatever crisis they can to, and I think what we're seeing is a sign of desperation here as well. I think we're in the end game. So, I don't know. I guess we got a caller. Maybe we should talk to Terry. Let's see what Terry's got going.
Morning, Terry.
Hey, guys, and Mark, I agree with you 100%. We've really got to start focusing on stuff that can affect us, not stuff that might happen or will happen or is happening here or happening there. And I think one of the things that affects us right now, and I think you laid it right on the line, is noncompliance. I mean, at what point will the American people have enough? But it goes back to your county. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, one other thing about Mike Johnson, he endorsed Stephanie Bridget. He didn't just support her. He endorsed her knowing that she has 10 Brady violations. Now, a Brady violation is when the prosecution suppresses evidence that could be helpful to the defense. We've got 10 of them. We lead the league. We are the home run champions. We are the champions of the world when it comes to this. And I am tired of all this stuff to where we get off on all these different trails when we're not understanding that really and truly, if we don't get these counties one by one in the battle we need to fight there, and the battle we need to win there, is where it's going to be effective. You had the school board on this morning, or not the school board, but you had Katie and you had Brian Caples on this morning. It was very, very good because we had them on this morning. They were a great interview. But those are the things we need to be putting to the forefront so that people can actually have something. They can't just scratch their head and go, gee, I'm really pissed about that. Boy, I'm glad I know it, but I'm really pissed about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do anything about it. And the very last thing I'll say is that you're absolutely spot on 2,000 mules. The elephant in the room, because we've already seen the mules, the donkeys, if you will, the elephant in the room simply is that what we're looking at is we're looking at a situation to what's the solution. Well, you know, we'd want to put Trump back in. I know you guys all would. We'd all want to do that. But what happens then? What happens to legislation that's done, that the president has signed off on, that may be good legislation, maybe bad, maybe good? What would happen to all that? How much of that would be null and void? And how in the world would we ever take care of all that? How would we do that when it comes to having a situation to where any of this can actually be done without just tearing up and throwing away everything that's been done since the election? I don't know what Congress would do. I don't know what the – maybe you know. Maybe you know what could be done. What would be null and void? What wouldn't be? Seems like it all would be, but maybe you have a response to that.
You know, I don't know, Terry. I mean, we are so far into clown world at this point. I mean, the only thing I am sure of is that the American people at some point is standing up for their freedom. That's why you're seeing this. Local elections across the country are doing with the same thing that we're doing. You have to take over your county. You have to get rid of these entrenched people that are a part of the established governing body that have been there for years and years and years and years, because they're all doing it for the money. They're not doing it. When you listen to all these campaign ads and you listen to everything, oh, I'm honest, I'm this, I'm that. No, they're not talking about your kids' rights. They're not talking about, you know, upholding the rights of their constituents. You know, all the people that are in the government already are all about money, their pensions, and getting paid. The people that are stepping up are saying, we got to get back to freedom and the Constitution. I'm hoping with all my heart that the people in the county are smart enough to see through this crap, to see that we need to get rid of these guys.
Mm-hmm. And with that said, we do have to go to a break. Thank you for the call, Terry. And you're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. The number to call in if you'd like to is 605-4567.
You know what? Jimmy and High Res got it right. This is a war. This is a war on freedom. This is a war on children. This is a war on religion. This is a war on your ability to think. They want to control all information. They want to control what you think, and they're doing it all over the world, all over the world.
Faith over fear, oh God is always there. When you got faith over fear, He'll answer all your prayers. So go and tell all the people that the Lord will lead the way. I put faith over fear every day. I got God in my corner, there ain't a man that can stop me. I already gave my soul to Him, not the Illuminati. Now I got an army of people that's right beside me. Heaven over Hollywood, evil can never stop me. Media wants you nervous, they wanna make you feel worthless. The government is a circus, had to fight off these servants just to get back to the surface. My soul is not for purchase, God's the only one I service, I'm His servant. Going through hardships in my darkest, I know He gon' take my hand. When life get hard, it's like a promise that you gotta trust His plan. Even if you don't understand, doesn't happen when you demand. It gonna happen when the timing right, all your prayers they gon' be answered. Have no fear when He near, He gon' take the wheel and He steer. When you think He gone, He appear. God, He feel when you cry tears. They said 2 weeks is slow to spread, that's turning into 5 years. I don't believe in the devil, God the only one I fear. Faith over fear. Oh, God is always there. When you got faith over fear, He'll answer all your prayers. So go and tell all the people that the Lord will lead the way. I put faith over fear every day.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Reading Electric Utility and City of Reading staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Texas town of El Paso, I fell in love with a Mexican girl. Nighttime would find me in Rose's Cantina, music would play and Felina would whirl. Blacker than night were the eyes of Felina, wicked and evil while casting a spell. My love was deep for this Mexican maiden. I was in love, but in vain I could tell. One night a wild young cowboy came in, wild as the West Texas wind. Dashing and daring, a drink he was sharing with wicked Felina, the girl that I love.
Well, I did play a little bit of cowboy this week because the Reading Rodeo is coming on. And if you don't like Marty Robbins, I'm sorry. You just can't. I don't care.
Reminds me of a what is it? No, I had it in my head. It was old country western, and he's riding off into the sunset. I don't know.
I don't know the Searchers. Okay, I think we still have Terry with us. Let's get back to Terry here. We didn't mean to cut you off, Terry, but we had a hard break, and we didn't have a choice. Are you still there, Terry? Maybe not. All right. We will continue.
So I also sent you another document that was of special interest that was a Pfizer FOIA data release that we had talked about getting to. And I wanted to go ahead and
hit
on
this. I'm not sure if I got it. I mean, I got a TikTok thing. And
it's not TikTok. It's just...
I wonder if it must have went to my junk. I'll tell you what. It sure does seem like Google. I mean, I'm on... You can't get any. I'm on MSN, but it's like, man,
you got to get on Proton Mail. I mean, literally.
I actually am on Proton Mail, but I have so much coming in on MSN that I can't shut the valve off. You know, it's where my business has been for 25 years, you know.
Well, and I've been noticing because you have to have a Google account to even have.
That's
a
what
cell
I'm saying. You don't have
like
a choice
that.
On some of these things, but I do have a Proton account, and I do plan to get over to it more and more as time goes by. But right now, I don't have a choice. I mean, I've got.
But what's interesting about those platforms is they actually go through, they scan your email, they figure out every little bit of information about what you're sending privately.
It went to the junk, by the way.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it went to the junk because they don't want this information out there.
No,
they don't
got
want
you,
it to be shared.
No. They've got you targeted specifically, Dave, and I'm disavowing you at this point.
Well, this document, you guys, is a confidential document from Pfizer that was not meant to be released. We have this document. So this is the cumulative analysis of post-authorization adverse event report.
Oh, is this the one you were showing me earlier about
this is.
The yeah, okay, let me see if I can go ahead and keep going.
You can find it if you just type in BNT162B2 and search that up. You will find this document. Go to page 30. From
Which one we got, the Health Policy Watch and then this EBWHAA, is that the one?
It might be. But
World Health Organization strengthen.
No, that was the last thing we just talked about.
So let me
this one here, it should read confidential at the bottom of the page, and then at the top it says cumulative analysis of post-authorization adverse effects reports. Okay. So once you're on page 30, you then have a total of nine pages of adverse effects that are on this.
So it starts on page 30?
On page 30 is when they actually get to all of the adverse effects.
Oh, I must
effects.
Be on the wrong one because this one's only got 10 pages, so I'm not sure what's going on here.
Yeah, it's probably the email just before that one. It was one of the first ones
I
sent you.
Oh, the other one that went to junk.
Yeah, probably.
Jesus.
Okay.
Go ahead. I'm trying to find this, but I'm
so on this appendix list of adverse effects of special interest, once you end up getting to page 30, the very first symptom on it is a 1P36 deletion syndrome. That's weird.
I think I got it now. There's two of them. I'm not sure if it's the first or the second. Rare diseases or depletion. I got it. All right.
Okay.
All
right. So 1P36 deletion syndrome. What is that? It's a chromosome disorder that typically causes severe intellectual disability. Most affected individuals do not speak or speak only a few words, may have temper tantrums, bite themselves, or exhibit other behavior problems. Most have structural abnormalities of the brain, and seizures occur in more than half of the individuals with this disorder. Individuals with chromosome 1P36 deletion syndrome usually have weak muscle tone and swallowing difficulties. Other features include a small head that is usually short and wide, vision and hearing problems. Normally, this disease is a genetic disorder.
So this is coming from NIH, is that what you're saying? And that's at the GARD Genetic and Rare Disease Information Center.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to figure out who's writing this summary.
That summary was from the FDA Cyber 2021, and it has the FDA document number on it, and that is a confidential document that was received from a FOIA request.
So then you go to diagnosis and treatment. Where are you seeing?
Page 30.
On diagnosis and treatment, or is it on living with the disease?
You go down to page 30. Let me make sure you're on the right one.
Yeah, I don't think I'm on the right one here. It's I'm sorry about this, folks, but we got two things going on here, and it's
yep, that's it.
Okay, so let me pull that up there and see what happens if I can bring it up. Yeah, I'm trying to follow along here, but I can't seem to get to the right pages here.
That is the first of nine pages, folks. When you look at this document of these adverse reactions, that is literally deletion syndrome, comma, hypergloxite.
So I got, sorry, we cannot find the requested page or document. So I don't know. I mean, maybe they've already scrubbed it. I don't know.
No, I'm on it, but I mean, obviously, it's difficult to find. Just go to your browser and type in.
I think I know what the problem is. Here, let me try.
BNT162B2. You will find it that way. But this is the thing: if you search for it, you're going to come up with pages and pages and pages of information that's just junk. It's garbage. We have the Ministry of Truth and Disinformation Acts that they're talking about right now.
Do they have any show tunes?
Well, while you bring that up. On May 12th, we have House Republicans move to defund Disinformation Governance Board, which is good. And you have Kevin McCarthy introduce legislation that would prohibit the Disinformation Governance Board funding federal funding and block funding from any substantially similar activities. The president's Ministry of Truth is just an un-American abuse of power, which is a scheme conjured up by the Washington Democrats to grant themselves the authority to control free speech, said the California representative during a May 11th press conference, alluding to George Orwell's dystopian novel of 1984. But this is what we're talking about. You already have these large institutions like Google, and even DuckDuckGo last month came out and said, oh, we're going to have to start cutting back on a lot of the information that we let you see. That's not up to you to decide what the heck I see. It's not your damn problem. I'm the guy that's doing the research. You don't get to tell me I can't see that because it may not go along with what all of your doctors say. That's the whole reason why we have second opinions.
Well, again, I without having researched the document, I'm just going to have to listen to what you're saying because I can't seem to pull it up. With that said, I don't know. Let's take another break. Okay? Let's go to a break and regroup here a little bit and figure out what we're going to do here in the next 15 minutes in the last segment of the show.
Casey, I kind of want to talk about oil and gas.
Yeah, maybe we'll go to commodities. That's affecting our economy. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM, your talk radio, and let's go to a break.
And all I see is propaganda. Propaganda. And all I see is propaganda. Dropping the ball, independent how we dead in the game. We don't write to the sound of applause. In truth, dotted lines ain't never signed, stood and remain the boss. In a world that is full of facades, where if you speak, you get nailed to a cross. I won't be silent, I am outspoken. I am the product of pain, so when you see my name, no fame could never break down a brain that is already broken. Every wound is a pain, devotion. They fill words as I purge emotions. Scabs, hair as I drop hits that bleed live from demonic omens. The system decides we spend and we buy while most of our time is spent in bed. The dreams we have will stay inside. We sleep and wake and live with regret. The price of life is half the cost. The price of fame could cost your head. If infamy is what you seek, and propaganda is all I see is propaganda.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. With all the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow. Yet I'm trying to please to the calling of your heartstrings that play soft and low. Yet all the night seem to whisper and hush. Yet all the soft moonlight seems to shine in your blush. Can I just have one more moon dance with you, my love? Can I just make some more romance with you, my love? Well, I wanna make love to you tonight. I can't wait till the morning has come. Yet I know now the time is just right, and straight into my arms you will run. And when you come, my heart will be waiting to make sure that you're never alone. There and then all my dreams.
Yeah, we're back. Sovereign Minds. We're talking about stuff. You know, Dave brought up a good point. We're gonna change gears here a little bit and go into the market and what you guys need to do to protect yourself. You know, we had a big drop in the stocks. This is just a minor correction in the big scheme of things. Don't worry about that. Same for Bitcoin, gold, silver. Hold on to it. Buying opportunity. You want to use this as insurance because the big unwind isn't here yet. It's not gonna come here, and you're not gonna see it until you see a huge spike in the 10-year yield on treasuries, because that's what's funding everything. You know, they're basically printing treasury bonds and selling them to the government whoever will buy them to fund everything, funds the market. So we're not there yet. It's not the big unwind yet. Relax. Keep doing whatever you can to prepare for the big unwind, because you should be storing, food, and you should be trying to store some of your wealth away and saving and whatever you can. You're not going to want to save in dollars, because you got to find something that's going to hold its value. You know, commodities, gold, silver, oil, whatever it is. You know, and Dave's got a story here on the oil about how Biden is canceling the leases on the oil. Gee, that's not going to make the gas prices or the diesel go up at all, will it?
Mm-hmm. Well, and first, we do have a caller. It looks like we have Dee Dee on the line. Good morning, Dee Dee.
Yeah, thank you. I wanted to ask Mark what he thinks is the best way to go to vote. I don't have a computer.
In person?
In person,
don't use the drop boxes.
The last time I went, you know, I don't like the machine, but that's what ends up. You put your ballot in and the machine's counting it.
Well, it's better than the ballot boxes, because the ballot boxes is where they're going to – they need those ballot boxes in the big scheme of things. Now, in a small county like this, it's not as prevalent, because we can go down there and count the ballots much easier. It's much smaller. It's a little harder to cheat. But I would go down there, and I would do it at the at your polling place directly. And what we need to do is make sure we get guys in – like Bob Holsinger, mm-hmm. who's going to get rid of these machines, who's going to get rid of these ballot boxes that Kathy Darling Allen is so fond of and was so proud of getting in here. And if you saw 2,000 mules, you'll know that's how they're cheating.
And the other thing is, like, the last time I went, I used the ballot that they mailed to me. Do I want to use that same ballot,
yes.
or do I want to... Yes,
you want to take
over and get one from them.
No, I would just take that in. You don't want to get one from them, because if you don't take that in, they'll give you one, and the provisional ballots aren't really counted like the regular ballots are. So you need to go in with, bring the ballot in with you that they sent you in the mail, and vote there at your polling place or directly at the county office.
And your envelope and all of that. Get all the original documentation and bring it in.
And do you know if anybody has anything in motion trying to get us back to the way that we are intended to vote and should be voting?
Bob Holsinger.
Vote Bob Holsinger. That's what he's going to do. That's his intentions. With the 2,000 mules coming out and seeing how the cheating has been done, he's been working directly down at that office since 2018. He knows what's going on down there. He's familiar. Kathy Darling Allen wants to keep those voting machines, those Dominions, which we know are more and more information's coming out on them. I don't trust them. And I would just as soon see everybody have a valid ID, a thumbprint, and vote that way, and so we could track each and every ballot.
Absolutely, and that's what I believe too. And you know, you can vote. You know, I mean, what happened to going to vote on the day?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's why they extended it. It's because I don't believe that Newsom won the last election then on the recall legitimately. I don't believe these guys anymore on anything. They cheat on everything. They're liars.
It's driving me crazy. I can't stand it.
Well, that's why we're in the middle of a battle here, we have to. We have to deal with what we got and turn the House and Senate over. But the biggest thing is concentrating on these local elections, mm-hmm. and get those establishment candidates out of there. Get
all
them out
right.
of there.
I agree. Well, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Dee Dee. We appreciate
thank you.
It.
And also to that note, Dee Dee, Bob is the only guy that when I was interviewing him, he ended up saying, yes, he's for voter ID. That's something that has to come from the state level. We can't tackle that straight away. However, what he did say is he reviewed the Dominion voting machines contract, and he can get out of it with the Board of Supervisors' votes on it, which hopefully they would end up voting for that. But once again, it makes all of this so important. You have District 5 that's going to be running for another election right now, Chris Kellstrom, and you also have Bob Holsinger, who is looking to get rid of those machines and bring us in a machine that is actually going to be vetted and something that is going to be something that we can hopefully trust. Now, I did want to discuss this situation with the Biden administration canceling prominent oil and gas leases this last week, because we keep hearing from the left, it's bad everywhere. We have fuel shortages everywhere. We have these problems everywhere, and the president doesn't have anything to do with this. So here's the deal. A decision halts a potential drill for oil in Cook Inlet in Alaska. Due to the lack of industry interest in the leasing area, the department will not move forward with the proposed Cook Inlet OCS oil and gas lease sale of 258, a DOA spokesperson told Fox Business on Thursday. The DOI spokesperson noted that additional oil and gas leases would also be halted in the Gulf of Mexico, according to a statement given to CBS. The DOI ended at least two leases for the Gulf of Mexico region because of conflicting court rulings that impaired work on these proposed lease sales. When Biden first took office, he signed an executive order to suspend federal oil and gas leases. Republican-led states challenged the ban, and a federal judge ruled in their favor, overcoming the suspension and opening a lease sale for more than 80 million acres in the Gulf of Mexico for drilling. However, environmental protection parties sued to stop the lease sale in federal court and won. Now, what we're seeing right now, what this has led to, is national gas prices average have hit a new high on Sunday at $4.47 per gallon.
Do you know what we're going to see after cutting back all these leases, stopping all the oil drilling? You know, and here's another point I want to make. If you were trying to do this on purpose to sink the American country of America, United States of America, if you were trying this, you couldn't do it any better. This mm-hmm. guy has not made one mistake in our favor. At some point, you got to go, this is on purpose. They're doing this on purpose. And when you see $14 a gallon or $50 for a loaf of bread, are you going to wake up and get involved then? I don't want to be in politics. Well, you're in politics whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. You're going to be involved whether you like it or not. You're going to be in a bread line whether you like it or not. You're going to not have food, or you're not going to have ability to transport your kids or yourselves or go places or go on vacation if this keeps going. And it's going to keep going. We have not altered the course at all. They're not in this stupid crap over at the Federal Reserve. Oh yeah, we're gonna hike rates 3 points, three quarters of a percent. Really, we're at 9 to 12% inflation. The only way you're even going to slow it down at this point is if you have interest rates that are over the and above the amount of the inflation that you're incurring. And they're throwing out stuff like food and gas in their calculation to get to 9.
Well, and what you look at, too, so they've depleted our national oil reserves, and that's our money.
Oh, I think we got tons of, I think we got tons of oil reserves. But if you don't drill or get them.
They've gone, no, what I mean is our actual oil reserves, which are reserved for our military industrial complex.
Oh, what you're talking about is the strategic oil reserve.
And they've depleted that.
Sure.
And that still has to be renewed. And we're also, I have another article right here as of May 13th. Diesel fuel stockpiles lowest on record as prices soar, rationing is possible. And
well, what's going to happen when the truckers can't move the goods to the – it's already happening. These shortages aren't – oh, yes, it's our predecessor's fault. Do you got any ice cream? I mean, come on. Wake up. This is going to get uglier and uglier and uglier because they're not even slowing down the train. So you better start preparing yourself out there, and you better put something away and have some, safe haven value stored someplace, because, you know, at what point in time does it get really ugly? When the interest rates hit 8 or 9%, is that going to stall out the economy? The only reason that the economy's already stalled out. The economy is already plunging. It's already going down faster than it ever has in history.
Well, don't you love how they said, oh, it's going to be transitory hyperinflation.
It's all BS.
And now they just change it to, oh, it's going to be hyperinflation. But this is according to data from AAA. The national average of diesel fuel in the United States surpassed $5.56 a gallon on Thursday. Highest level ever recorded.
I saw down in L.A., diesel's almost $7 a gallon right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So the point being is that this whole thing is not an accident. It's going to get worse. They did it on purpose. This is a crisis that they're going to try to take advantage of. And the more people that are unprepared, the worse it is.
Well, and people need to wake up. So right here in a statement to Bloomberg on Wednesday, John Kadasmus, the CEO of United Refining Company, said, I wouldn't be surprised to see diesel being rationed on the East Coast this summer. What is that going to do to our economy? How much product is shipped from the East Coast over here? It's a lot, folks. It is doggone a lot. And if you end up having diesel be rationed over there, you already have these drivers that are not able to run their trucks because they can't get parts.
I got an idea. Let's just send money to Ukraine because they need gas and oil more than we do.
No, and meanwhile, Biden's got no quick fix for fixing our economy. Instead, he's focusing on windmill power instead of oil. This is recent.
I'm having a bad Don Quixote and Sancho Panza dream here. Really? He's focusing on windmill power?
Yes. So this is an article right here from the New York Post.
Boy, Cervantes is rolling over in his freaking grave. We've got Joe Biden playing Don Quixote at this point. Are you kidding me? We got a couple minutes here. We're almost done. I mean, I'm a little beside myself today just because, this is getting uglier and uglier and uglier, and it's going to get more and more ugly, and we got to get the control of these local people.
And it will. And in the meantime, what you see from the congressmen and congresswomen, so Pelosi recently came out and said, as of May 13th, that House Democrats don't have to show up for work for 6 more weeks. We only have this huge crisis everywhere. Crisis in Ukraine, crisis on the border, crisis at the
They got a farm. Crisis on how many ice cubes to put in their freaking martinis at this point. I mean, that's what they're talking about that they passed a thing saying now they can have their alcohol delivered directly to the house. They don't have to go down to the bar to get drunk. And historically, Nancy Pelosi, you know, she doesn't drink too much, does she? I mean, you've never seen her, like, on camera, you know, kind of looking like she's a snockered or a few much too many spoons full of medicine and, you know, nothing like that. Wow.
That's sickening. Now, I mean, the things that they're choosing to focus on, instead of doing their work there, this is from New York. Eric Adams blasts pro-life radical extremists. Says women have right to abortions up until the day of birth.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's what they choose to focus on.
Well, meanwhile, that's us people who believe in the Constitution, the law, rule of law, and that the government works for us are all white supremacists.
You're a terrorist.
Terrorist, because, you know, we don't like what they're doing.
Well, that was what they're calling now. They're saying that homeschooling this last week now is a racist, terrorist thing.
Of course.
That's what they're saying, because, of course, they want these teachers to be able to do exactly whatever they want.
All right. Well, we're at the end of the show. We're about over here. You were born original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark. Professionals built the Titanic, and most of them are in Washington. You can tune into mountaintopmedia.com. We have another one coming out today, I believe it is, for Sovereign Minds, the podcast. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. We'll see you next week.
All gun control is racist.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.